Morning. Today's daf and Shabbos Peches. We are on the top of Peches. I'm an Aleph, continuing our discussion from yesterday regarding the exact day and date of Kabbalah Satorah. The day and date of Kabbalah Satorah became the predominant discussion in yesterday's daf as a result of the Mishnah. Mishnah taking us back to Pei Vav and Aleph, describing four different halachas. The first of the four halachas is Poletes Shechvas Zera. A woman, after having relations with her husband, is going to be discharging the zera, and as the zera is coming out of her, it's going to be metame her, but only upwards of 3 days, not more than 3 days. And the Gemara on Pei Vav discusses halacha at length, and this halacha correlates with the preparation and the hafrasha and the separation that occurred at Mamad Har Sinai. The entire Jewish people are going to be having direct communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at Mamad Har Sinai. We did have direct communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at Mamad Har Sinai, and we needed hachana. And that hachana involved hafrasha. Husbands and wives had to be separated. How long were they separated from one another? So that is going to be a dispute amongst the Tanaim. We saw this dispute yesterday, and the Gemara is going to continue its discussion today. This is a full daf discussion in the Gemara on this topic, in terms of how many days of hafrasha. Your options are either it's going to be 2 days or 3 days. And that also connects with another debate that takes place between the Tanaim, Rabbi Yossi, and the Chachamim, and that is what exactly is the day and date of Kabbalas HaTorah. We know everyone agrees that we arrived at Midbar Sinai on the first day of Sivan. That is a tenet that is agreed to by all. We also agree that the Torah was given on Shabbos itself. And now the question is, what day was Rosh Chodesh? And the Tanaim are debating this issue. Rav Yossi is of the opinion that Rosh Chodesh that year occurred on a Sunday. And so basically we go from Sunday to Shabbos, a full week of back and forth between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. The days of Hafrash, according to Rav Yossi, are going to be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We discussed all this extensively in yesterday's daf. And then Shabbos, and Friday night, we told them the mikvah. On Shabbos, we had a divine revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the entire Jewish people at Mamad Har Sinai circa 3,300 years ago. According to the Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, Rosh Chodesh that year was on a Monday. On a Monday, and so that means that the days of Hafrasha are going to be truncated to 2 days. The back and forth between the Jewish people and Klal Yisrael. And then on Thursday was Hafrasha. Thursday and Friday were the days of Hafrasha, 2 days of Hafrasha. And what we did yesterday in the course of the entirety of yesterday's daf is we went over the back and forth, meaning there are brises and psukim that support Rav Yossi. There are brises and psukim that support the Chachamim. And we went over all that yesterday, including a lengthy look at the calendar of that year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, based on other pieces of information that we know regarding when Yetzias Mitzrayim was, what day of the week Yetzias Mitzrayim was. We even compared it to year number two, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we also know some days and dates as well. And so yesterday, an intricate discussion regarding whether or not Kabbalas HaTorah was on the 6th day of Sivan or on the 7th day of Sivan. I mentioned it briefly yesterday, but I'll mention it also at the front end of today's daf as well. And that is that the Yontif of Shavuos is going to be connected with this debate, seemingly. We assume that, you know, that Shavuos is Man Matan Torasenu. That assumption is bolstered by the fact that in our davening, we include that as part of the Nusach of Shavuos, that Zman Matan Torasenu. So we assume that there are certain assumptions that Kabbalas HaTorah and Shavuos are linked. To be honest and fair, however, the Torah itself never makes any kind of linkage. The Torah just simply says that Shavuos is going to be celebrated, observed, 50 days after the second day of Pesach. As far as the Torah is concerned, we're counting 49 days, and on the 50th day, we celebrate Shavuos. The Torah itself never puts together Shavuos as being Zman Matan Torasenu. So, from a Torah perspective, the two are not necessarily linked, but certainly it would seem like like they are linked. Certainly that is what Chazal suggests, and in the Nusach HaTfilah, it indicates that as well. And then, of course, it prompts the question, which is, well, who do we passim like? Do we passim like Rabbi Yossi, or do we passim like the Chachamim? Now, the answer seems to be that we passim like the Chachamim, because when do we observe Shavuos? It comes out to be the 6th day of Sivan. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yossi says that Shavuos has to be observed on the 7th day of Sivan. So this is a major discussion, not had in the Gemara, but later Rishonim Achronim discuss exactly who we follow and where do we stand in terms of Shavuos. Now again, it's a strange discussion because from the Torah's perspective, Shavuos is very simple. Count from the second day of Pesach, you land on day 50. That day is Shavuos, irrespective of what date it is. So it's a bit tricky. It's a little complicated in terms of what exactly the relationship is between Shavuos and Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, I put it out there. Let's now continue. We're on Pesach Ayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now is going to spend a little more time going over the back and forth between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim in terms of the date of Kabbalah Satorah. Is it the 6th of Sivan or is it the 7th of Sivan? And we are starting on the very top of Peches Amud Aleph, top line, Tashma. The time, Yabbi Seder Olam, the Gemara now is going to be quoting a brice of Seder Olam. Seder Olam is the Chachamim giving history from Adam Rishon all the way to Churban Bayis Sheni. And now it doesn't go that far, sorry. But it goes up to and includes Bayis Sheni. And so this is described as Seder Olam. The Gemara quotes the brice of Nisan Shabo. Yaz Yisrael Mitzrayim, Nisan of that year, meaning the year of Yitzias Mitzrayim, obviously. So that Nisan, so we left Mitzrayim, Ba'arba Asar, Shaftu Pischem, on the 14th of Nisan, we Shaftu Karm Pesach, Bechamisha Asar, Yatsu, and on the 15th, we left Ba'oso Ayom. Now that 15th was Erev Shabbos Hayah. So it was a Friday. Now if you go back to yesterday's daf, you remember yesterday's daf, we saw Bryce after Bryce saying that Yitzias Mitzrayim was on a Thursday. So obviously Seder Olam disagrees. So Seder Olam takes now a different position, a variant position, and that Yitzias Mitzrayim is taking place on a Friday, not on a Thursday. Now, the Gemara just simply fills in the details, and after going through yesterday's daf, this is pretty basic in terms of now setting up the calendar. Umidirish Yarcha de Nisan Erev Shabbos, that of course means that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on a Friday, meaning because Yitzias Mitzrayim is on the 15th, so it just simply follows then that if I work backwards, first day of Nisan is going to come out also on a Friday. And Reish Yarcha Iyar Chad B'Shabbat. Now Rosh Chodesh Iyar now is going to come out on a Sunday. V'Sivan B'Trei B'Shabbat. And now Rosh Chodesh Sivan is going to fall out on a Monday. And Kasha Rav Yossi. And this is a difficulty for Rav Yossi because Rav Yossi says that Rosh Chodesh Sivan falls out on a Sunday. Amlecha Rav Yossi Amani Rabban and he. So Rav Yossi will say, look, that's fine. What are you quoting me? A Brisa of Seder Olam. The Brisa of Seder Olam follows the Shita of the Chachamim. Meaning, okay, machlokis tanaim, and they obviously are espousing one viewpoint. I'm on the other side. I'm on the side that says that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday, not a Monday. Tashma the Gemara once again quotes another brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer B'Sheni Ala Moshe V'Yarad. So on Sheni, on the second day, Moshe goes up and then he comes down. B'Shlishi Ala V'Yarad. On the third day, he goes up and he comes down. And as we did this yesterday, but let's quickly review today. On the second day, he goes up. What happened? What about the first day? So as far as the first day is concerned, no communication. Chulshu de orcha. We just walked for some time. And now we're in Midbar Sinai. We need a day. We need a day just basically to unpack our bags. Second day, as we're describing right now, Moshe goes up and comes down. That's Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is informing Moshe that we are going to become a holy nation. B'Shlishi Alav Yarad. And then on the third day, goes up, comes down. We already saw this yesterday's daf. Third day was what? Third day was the mitzvah of Hagbalah. The mitzvah that we have to set up a perimeter around Har Sinai. And finally, Bedala Yarad Vishuv Lo Allah. And then the fourth day, Moshe went down, but he never went back up again. Meaning, not until actual Muhammad Har Sinai Kabbalah Satorah. And the Gemara over here is just bothered by the text of the Braisa. Moshe came down, never went up. Well, wait a second. It seems like we missed a step. Meaning, doesn't he have to first go up on the fourth day and then come down? So Allah, so the Gemara says, okay, so a small editing of the Braisa, Revi Allah V'Yarad. And on the fourth day, he goes up and then he comes down. B'chamishi, Bada Mizbeach. On the fifth day, he built the Mizbeach. V'ikir V'lav Karban, and Karbanos were brought. B'shishi Lo Haya Lo Panai. And on the sixth day, Lo Haya Lo Panai. There was simply no time. Okay, so this Brisa ends off. Brisa goes through 6 days, and on the sixth day, the Brisa ends off with this cryptic statement of there was just simply no time. So my lab, now the Gemara is going to try to suggest, what does the Brisa mean? Mishum Torah, meaning what's happening on the sixth day? What does that mean? Ein lo panai, lo hayu lo panai. It must mean Kabbalah Satorah, which is now going to be supportive of the Shita of the Chachamim, which is that basically we're going 6 days from Monday to the sixth day, meaning Kabbalah Satara. So the Gemara says, lo, mishum tarach Shabbos. The Gemara says, no. Lo hayilo panai doesn't mean that. Lo hayilo panai means that tichur the Shabbos, meaning we just simply were so busy preparing for Shabbos. But it could very well be what the Brisa here is describing is Sunday through Shabbos, like Rav Yossi's been espousing all along. Darsh ha'u galila ala Rav Chista. The following Galilean darshan in front of Rav Chista, and he said, Baruch Rechmana diav orayin tilsai. Baruch Hashem, that Akash Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, which comes in thirds. La'am tilsai, to a nation of thirds. Al yedei tilsai, through a third. Biyom tilsai, on the third day. Biyarcha tilsai, and in the third month. So this darshan said in front of Rav Chista a lot of threes. Let's go back and let's explain each one of these threes that he mentioned. First of all, he calls the Torah a Torah of threes. What does that mean? This is a Torah of threes. So Rashi over here writes that Torah is broken down into three components: Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. Okay. Also, by the way, Rashi doesn't mention this, but the Gemara in Kiddushim, when talking about the studying of Torah, La'olam Yishalesh Adam. A person should take Torah learning and divide it into thirds. Learn Shlish be-Mikra, Shlish be-Mishnah, and Shlish be-Talmud. A third of Chumash, a third of Mishnayos, and a third of Talmud. That's another way it could be broken up into three. The next third mentioned is Am Tilsai. We are a nation of threes. How are we a nation of threes? Rashi writes over here, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Al Yedei Tilsai, Torah was given to us through a third. Rashi says that's a description of Moshe. Why? Because he was the third child. First came Miriam, then came Aaron, and then followed by Moshe. Yom Tilsai, so it came on the third day. What does that mean, the third day? That's not what we've been saying all along. Either it's the sixth day or it's the seventh day. Rashi explains third day from Afrasha, meaning from the point of separation, meaning it was given on the third day. Now, obviously, and this is going to be the point that Gemara is going to make in just a moment, and that is the author of this Brisa. It's not a Brisa. It's a darshan who darshans in front of Rav Chista, but he's subscribing to the viewpoint of the Chachamim in that it was not 3 days of preparation, it was 2 days of preparation, and then on the third day we receive the Torah. Okay, that's going to be the whole point. Anyway, be Yarcha Tosai in the third month, obviously that's Sivan, and then come on. And now the Gemara wants to know, this darshan, who's he subscribing like? And the Gemara says, Karabban, he's holding like the Chachamim. Continuing in the Gemara now, that is it in terms of the end of the discussion of the Gemara between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. In terms of the date of Kabbalah Satorah, it's either the sixth day of Sivan or the seventh day of Sivan. Chachamim say sixth, Rav Yossi says seventh. The Gemara spent an entire daf, more than that. The discussion began on Pei Vav Amud Beis, on the bottom of the Amud, and it continued through the entirety of Pei Zion, and to the top of Pei Ches, to where we are right now. The Gemara spent over a daf on this discussion regarding what was the date of Kabbalah Satorah. Was it the sixth of Sivan, or was it the seventh of Sivan? Now, included in this debate were issues of how many days of Afrasha were necessary. So that obviously is a major component of that date, which has significant halachic consequences regarding how long a woman is going to be a poleta shechva zera, which engendered the whole discussion to begin with. And also the Gemara had a number of other interesting discussions and debates that also surrounded this topic. Like for example, yesterday we had the discussion when we were first introduced to Shabbos at Marah. So what aspects of Shabbos were given to us at Marah? Was it the Malachos? Was it also Tchumim? So that also is going to be affected by this discussion and debate. So many things are connected to this discussion and debate. It's not just a historical question of when historically was Kabbalah Satorah. Continuing now in the Gemara Pechesim and Aleph, we are going to be darshaning for the remainder of today, Mamad Har Sinai. These Gemaras here on Shabbos, Peches, are perhaps one of the most famous Gemaras, and it expresses very deep and powerful ideas. Some of it I will be able to articulate, but many of it is going to be challenging. But I will try my best. V'yisatzvu b'tachti sahar, the Pasuk says, regarding Kabbalah Satorah, Mamad Har Sinai, Parshas Yisrael, Perek Yutes, in preparation, in anticipation. So it describes the Jewish people that we were tachti sahar, we were. Now, Rashi says there in Chumash. If you look at Rashi over there, simple pshat is, we were just simply by the side of the mountain. But that's not the literal translation of the psukim because it says tachtis ahar, which means that we were under the mountain. Now that's physically impossible. And here the Gemara says, Amra Vidimi bar Echama bar Chasa Malamit Shekafa Karsh Baruch Aleim es ahar kegigis. Karsh Baruch Hu took the mountain, raised the mountain, put it over a head, and held the mountain over a head like a barrel. The Amra Lahem, and Akash Baruch Hu says to us, Im atem mekabel matar mutav, if you accept the Torah, that's great. The Imlav Shamte Kvuraschem. And if not, that is where you are going to be buried. So basically, Akash Baruch Hu is making us a simple offer. You accept the Torah, or that's it. Amr Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mikan Modara Ba La'araisa. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, from here now, we basically have a disclaimer that is built in. Modara, but if you take a look at Rashi over here. Shim Yasmina Ladin, if we are ever taken into any kind of litigation, into any kind of accounting, a reckoning, Lama lo kiyamtem, how come you didn't accept the Torah? Masha kibaltem, you accepted the Torah, Aleichem. Yeshlem tshuva shekablua ba'ones. So our response is, yeah, but we were forced to accept the Torah. We didn't do so willingly. Why should we be bound by that? Now, again, these are very powerful ideas that the Gemara over here is expressing, but we're not done. Amar Rava afapikein hadur kablua bimei Achashverosh. So Rava says, well, that's true, but at the time of Purim and the nes that occurred during the reign of Achashverosh, the pasuk says, kimu v'kibla yudim, that the Jewish people accepted kimu masha kiblu kfar, meaning we already accepted the Torah, but now we accept it willingly. Rashi writes over here, ahavas anes shenasa lahem, because of our love for the miracle that occurred for us, so therefore we accepted the Torah willingly. Now, that is fascinating. That was approximately a 1,000-year period, about, between Kabbalah Satorah and the story of Purim. And for those 1,000 years, the Gemara describes it as a period in time in which we did accept the Torah, but we did so without volition, without choice. And so therefore, Modar Rabbah. So we have somewhat of a built-in disclaimer. Now, obviously, the Gemara is not to be understood on the most literal level, because we know that for those first 1,000 years up until Purim, so we were bound by the Torah, we were rewarded for keeping the Torah, we were punished for not keeping the Torah, meaning that the Gemara over here, even though the Gemara speaks about the idea that we were forced to accept the Torah, and we do have somewhat of an argument to make in terms of non-compliance, nevertheless, we know that the Gemara over here is not to be understood on the simplest of levels. Okay, but still, the Gemara obviously is meant to be understood. So in just a moment, I'll share with you what the Gemara could be suggesting. In the meantime, however, Top Tosfos over here, really popular discussion. Top Tosfos over here asks the question, which I'm sure everyone's wondering. The Gemara over here gives a picture, paints a picture of the Jewish people at Mamad Har Sinai as one in which we were forced to accept the Torah, and there was no acceptance on our part. And Tosfos points out at the very top, what do you mean there's no acceptance on our part? The entire picture of Kabbalah Satorah was Nasa V'Nishma, where we basically said, yes, we're going to do it, we're going to be compliant. In fact, in today's daf, the Gemara is going to make a very big deal about Nasa V'Nishma, the fact that we accepted the Torah, and then we said, look, we don't know what's in it, but whatever's there, we accept. Nishma will listen. So there is full acceptance about the Torah. So there seems to be a tremendous discrepancy between the measures that we just learned together versus the Psukim and the Torah. Psukim say Nasim and Nishma. Measure says that we were forced to keep the Torah. Which one is it? So Tosfos over here offers the Pshat. You can see the top Tosfos for the Pshat that Tosfos offers. But there is a Tanchuma. There's a Medrash. The Medrash is famous. You probably heard it already. The Medrash says that there's a distinction to be made between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. When we said Nasa V'Nishma at Mamad Har Sinai, we were fully accepting, obedient, and receptant to accepting the Torah Shebichsav, that which was in the Chumash itself. What the Gemara over here is describing, that the mountain was held over our head, and we were basically given an offer, but not much of an offer, that, to say the least. That's a description of Torah Shebapeh. Torah Shebichsav, we said to Akash Baruch Hu Nasa V'Nishma, sure, right, it's a... It is a finite document. It is something where we see it in front of us, and it's something which is digestible. That's fine. However, when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh, as we know, just from the standpoint of the Gemara alone, 2,700 pages of Gemara, double-sided. And not only that, but then the additional commentaries on the Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh is endless, seemingly endless. So over there, so that was something that had been done under compulsion and under duress. That is the Tanchuma. The Netziv brings down, it's a beautiful Netziv. The Netziv brings down at the end of Sefer Shmos. So then how do you make sense of the Gemara? Meaning assuming this Tanchuma. How do you make sense of the Gemara? The Gemara says that at the time of Purim, we accepted it willingly. So the Netziv writes, so that means to say that according to the Tanchuma, what did we accept willingly? We accepted the Torah Shabbat Peh willingly. So why specifically at Purim do we accept the Torah Shabbat Peh willingly? So the Netziv writes, well, let's consider what Purim is. Purim is an Eis Nistar, it was a hidden miracle. Meaning that we didn't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we know that it was there. He orchestrated history in a way in which he knew that he was there. So what we learned on Purim is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just that which is absolutely seen, empirically seen in front of us, but on top of that, it's also on that which lies underneath. And that is a beautiful description, right, in the Netziv of Torah Shabbat Peh, meaning Torah Shebichsav, so that's the written word. So that is empirical, that we see. What's Torah Shabbat Peh? That which is underneath, meaning you have to read. We have to read between the lines, under the lines. We have to look deeper. That's Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why in Purim, and it goes back to the Rashi that we saw together, because of the Nais. The Nais writes the Netziv, the Nais Nistar that occurs on Purim. That's why we accepted the Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, so just a simple approach in terms of understanding the dichotomy of, on one hand, what we learned in our Gemara of Kafaleim Karke Gigis, on the other hand, the Psukim of Nasav and Ishma. Just in terms of the fact that the compulsion, the fact that we were not given a choice to receive the Torah, so here as well, why was compulsion such an important element regarding Kabbalah Torah? So the Gur Arya, the Maharal, writes in a couple of places regarding the significance of compulsion. You could see the Gur Arya, I'm not going to go through it right now, but it is an invaluable resource on this topic. The Gur Arya can be found in Chumash on Perek Yutes, and the Gur Arya is on the Pasuk. Pasuk is Yudzayin in Perek Yutes. Take a look over there in the Pesukim, take a look at the Gur Arya, where he discusses why it was so critical that we had to have been forced to receive the Torah. We are continuing now in the Gemara. The Gemara, Amar Chizkia, halfway down in Peches and Aleph, the Gemara continues. Amar Chizkia Ma'ad Yechsev, the Pasuk says, Mishamayim Hashmaz Din, Eretz Yira V'Shakata. Pasuk in Tehillim describes that from the heavens we heard judgment, and in the land, Yira V'Shakata, fear and calmness, quiet. So the Gemara says, now those two descriptions are not in conjunction with one another. Im yira lama shakata. Well, if there's fear, then why is there quiet? Quiet over here means kind of like tranquility. Vim shakata lama yira. And if there's tranquility, why is there fear? So ela b'tchilas yira losof shakata. So the Gemara goes on to explain that first there was fear and then afterwards tranquility. V'lama yira. Now why is the land first fearful? K'de reish lakish, d'am reish lakish, may dechsif the pasuk v'yira v'yivoker yom hashishi. That the day and the night, sorry, let's go in the right order. The night and the day were created on the sixth day. Now, you'll notice that by all other days of the week during Maisa Bereishis, so it simply says Yom Rishon or Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. There's no Hey. And meanwhile, when it comes to day six, we have the Hey, Yom Hashishi, Hey Yisera Lamali. So why is that significant? Lama Shiesna Kosh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bereishis. That when Akash Baruch Hu created the world, so he threw in a very simple condition, a proviso. So if the Jewish people accept the Torah, albeit it won't be for some time from now, it'll be 2400 years later, right? 2448 was the year of Kabbalah Torah. So even though that's true, but the only way that I am creating this world is only so that the Jewish people accept the Torah. Otherwise, the world is going to go back to chaos. So creation is now going to be contingent on the Jewish people accepting the Torah. If we accept the Torah, great. If not, tov vavo. And that's why the world at Kabbalah Torah, the world was quote-unquote in anticipation and worried. And that's the yira that the Jewish people weren't going to accept the Torah. Once the Jewish people accepted the Torah, shakata. Now tranquilly knowing that the world will continue. Darsh Rav Simai, the Gemara now brings another drash. B'shashi dima yisrael nasa l'nishma. When the Jewish people took Nasa and put it in front of Nishma, And so here the Gemara now is praising the Jewish people for this idea that we first said Nase, we will do, and Nishma, and then we will hear. Ba'ushishim ribu shemalach yasharus, along come 600,000 of the malach yasharus acholecha ve'echem Yisrael kashulo shnei sarim. And two crowns were put on their heads, echad keneged Nase ve'echad keneged Nishma. A crown for Nase and a crown for Nishma. These crowns over here, Tosos describes as being crowns of hod, their splendor. So not necessarily physical crowns, but this idea that we had more hashras hashchina, more hod, more splendor. Those are that's what the crowns are suggesting. The kevin shechatu Yisrael, but once we went through Chet Ha'egel, yardu me'av esrim riboy malach chavala. Down comes 1.2 million malachim upirkum, and they took the crowns off. Shenemar v'isnasu b'nei Yisrael es edyam me'har charev. The edyam, these crowns, so to say, were removed at har charev. And that means to say that we were stripped of our crowns because of the chet. And Tosos over here points out, Tosos divra maskol yardu chaf, kuf chaf ribo. How come there are more malachim who are taking away the crown than that one that's giving us the crown? Don't we have a basic rule? Ask Tosos. Gedola mida tova mimida perennios. That greater is the good than that of destruction. So why only visited by 600,000 malachim to put the crowns on, but 1.2 million in order to remove? But Tosos says, yeah, but it doesn't violate the rule. Because the idea, says Tosos, is that as far as the malachim's ability to crown us, so each of the malachim can hold two of the crowns. But in terms of removing the crowns, each of these malachi chavala can only have the power to remove one of the two. That's why you needed double the labor force in terms of removing the crown than putting the crowns on. Okay. Am Rabbi Chama, back to our Gemara. Am Rabbi Chama bar Chanina b'chor tanu b'chor parku. We were given the crowns on in Choriv and Har Sinai, but they were also removed there as well. B'chor tanu k'da amarad. Now it was given to us in Har Sinai. We already had the psukim. B'chor parku dechsiv v'nesu b'nei Yisrael. Okay, very similar to what we just saw together. Am Rabbi Yochanan v'kulan zachem Moshe v'natlan. Now where did these crowns go? It went to Moshe. Tosos over here points out, that's the Karan Or Panav, the radiance, the amazing radiance that came off of Moshe, because Moshe, so to say, got all that hod. Moshe took the oil, meaning that he radiated so much, he had to move tent. Eventually these crowns are going to be returned to the Jewish people. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ufduye Hashem Yeshuvu Vav Tzion Birina, V'simchas Olam Al Rosham. Simcha Sheme Olam, the Simcha that once was, Al Roshan is going to go back on our heads. The Jewish people will be recrowned. Amar Rav Elazar, continuing in the Gemara, we're towards the Bama Pechesim and Aleph. Bishashi Hignimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma Yasa Baskal Ve'Amra. When the Jewish people first said Nasa, we will do. And then afterwards said Nishma, we will listen. So out comes the Baskal and says, Mi Gila Livnei Raz Ze Shemalach Yasharus Mishtam Shimbo. Who revealed the secret in which the Malachi Asharis are, you know, Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Malachav, Gibori Korach, Osei Devaro, Lishmo Bekol Devaro. The Pasuk in Tehillim describes that the Malachim first do the Asiya, that's the Osei Devaro, and then followed by the Shmiya. So this idea of putting Osei before Shmiya is something that is known in the world of the Malachim. But who let the secret out? How did the Jewish people know to do this? And the Gemara goes on to explain, so who let out the secret? The Gemara doesn't give us the answer, but in other words, the idea of the Gemara is that we were angelic in the sense that we first said Nasa and then afterwards Nishma. The Gemara quotes Psukim from Shir Shirim. Speaking to this, more to this idea, we were like a tapuch and atzei ayar. Lama nimshal Yisrael tapuch. The Jewish people are compared to tapuch. As we know, throughout Shah, Shir Shirim is understood as a metaphor. It is not to be taken literally. It is what the Gemara describes elsewhere as Kodesh Kadashim. It is a metaphor of the relationship between the Jewish people and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Jewish people are here, over here compared to the tapuch. Lama lecham atapuch zepir yakod ma'alav. Just like when it comes to the tapuch, you first see the fruit, then you see the leaves. Now that's out of order because first there are leaves and then there are fruit. So that's out of order. Same thing with the Jewish people. First we said Nasa, then we said Nishma, and that's out of order. Normally when contracted, so first you want to read the contract, then you'll sign onto the contract. And we did the opposite. We signed the contract and then we read the contract. Now, if tapuach is to be understood as an apple, which is in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, that's how it's understood, so then it's difficult. Right, been to an orchard, so you know that the leaves come first and then the fruit comes afterwards. Tosos over here on the bottom of the Amud says, Rabbi Natam is bothered by this question. And Rabbi Natam says that the tapuach of the Gemara is probably not an apple. Rabbi Natam writes that the tapuach of the Gemara is an esrog. And an esrog does have a somewhat different pattern in terms of the relationship between the leaves and the fruit. See Tosos over there. But in general, a cautionary word in terms of describing tapuach as an apple. In modern Hebrew, that's true. But the tapuach is used in the Gemara. Probably something more of a citrus. Tosos over here says it's an esrog. We are on the bottom of the Amud, three lines from the bottom, on Peches Amud Aleph. How it's Tzeduki to Chazil the Rava, there was a Tzeduki who was watching Rava to Kama Ayin B'Shmaita. And Rava was engrossed in learning. And the Tzeduki is watching him. The Yasvat Basa Didei Tuse Kare. And Rava was so engrossed in learning, he didn't notice that his fingers were underneath his legs. V'kamayitz Behu V'kamivan Etzbasa Dama. And because of some sort of pressure, some sort of injury, anyway, his finger started bleeding. And the blood was coming out of his finger. Amalei ama piziza. So the Tzeduki said, this nation is an impetuous nation. Dekadminu pumaychalu naichu. First your mouth, and then your ear. So akasi bipachuzaisu kamaisu. So, and he says, and look, and that was hundreds of years ago. And look at them now, right? He's watching Rava, not noticing the fact that his finger started bleeding. He was so engrossed in learning. So and the Tzeduki now is giving advice. He's a Monday morning quarterback. He says what you should have done is that first you should have heard, you should have listened to what exactly was included in the contract, and then afterwards, then you should have accepted it. So he says the Jewish people are foolish. So Amar Lei. So now Rava hears the Tzeduki, right? He was engrossed in learning, but he couldn't let that statement go unresponded. So Rava's response, Anan, as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Disagina b'shalmisa k'siv kain. Tumas yisharim tenachem. So the we are at peace. Rashi on the top of the Amud. When we follow Kadosh Baruch Hu, we do so with a complete heart. Because of our love towards Kadosh Baruch Hu. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu will not give us something that we can't handle. Meaning that because of the love that we have with Kadosh Baruch Hu, we are simply confident over the fact that whatever's in there is going to be good for us. However, it comes back to the Gemara, but those people, right, reference to the Tzeduki, Diskan Balisa, you people are perverse. Ksibahu Vesel Bogdim Yishadain. And as a result of that, those people who are Bogade, they're treacherous people, Yishadain. So they're going to be destroyed, meaning that you don't trust one another, you don't have this kind of relationship with others. And so therefore you can't understand how anyone can sign on to something without first reading what's in it. Amar Bishmo Barnachmin Amar Yonas Amay Dhsib the Pasuk says Levatani. So once again, now we're going to be quoting other Pesukim and Shir Hashirim, once again describing the relationship that exists between the Jewish people and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So b'tchila ba'achas me'inecha, so lecheshetasi b'shteinecha. So at first the relationship was with one eye, and then as the relationship continued, it was with two eyes. In other words, again, a description of the progression of the relationship between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Ula Aluva Kala Mizana B'toch Kupasa. And as long as we are working with this metaphor of we were marrying ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Mamad Har Sinai, so we had Aluva, we had a certain amount of Chutzpah over there. So Kala Mizana B'toch Kupasa, we were like the bride who was going to commit adultery at the chuppah. The Gemara obviously over here is making reference to Chet HaEgel. Amar Rav Mari Barad Bashmuel Maikra. So Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, that in of itself is a interesting side note in terms of why he's described in this manner. Not for now. He quotes a pasuk also from Shir HaShirim. Asha Melech B'Misibo Nardi. when the king was at the party, so my aroma went off, meaning went in another direction. And that means, again, an allusion to the fact that we were mizana, committed adultery with the Cheta Egel at Mamar Har Sinai. Amarava adain chavivuso hi gaban dechsev nasam loksev hisriach. Now, despite the fact that we committed an act tantamount to adultery, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has a love for us. The pasuk says that our nardin, the aroma went off, but it didn't say hisriach, that we became totally putrefied. Meaning there still maintains the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This idea of aluvin, that there was a certain amount of chutzpah, the Gemara now is going to be quoting a brisa, not related to our discussion, but connected with the word Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a brisa, aluvin ve'enam ovin. Somebody who receives an insult and doesn't reply and doesn't respond. Shomim cherpasam ve'enam meshivim. Here's somebody embarrassing them and doesn't respond. Osim yavav v'smechim v'yisurim. And operates with love and happy with the suffering that he receives. Alema kasavama, the pasuk says, "Vo'avav kaseis Hashemesh begvura so," that the person is beloved like the sun coming out in its strength. Meaning, it's a sign of superior inner strength, a lot of self esteem. Just because somebody insults you, somebody offends you, does not demand a response. And for that individual, the Gemara has a lot of good things to say. I'm Rav Yochanan. We return now back to the discussion of Mamad Har Sinai. My dichsiv, the pasuk Hashem Yitem, Omer HaMevasor Sva Rav. Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiyatza Mipi Agvura. Every word that came out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shanos, broke down and was subdivided into 70 languages. Mamad Har Sinai was not just a communication between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was basically spoken in all languages, so all people of the earth would hear, would be affected by Mamad Har Sinai. Not that it was for them, but nevertheless, they heard it. Tenid debay Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara quotes a braisa of Rabbi Yishmael, Uche patish yifotzeis sela. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, when the hammer hits a stone, Ma patisha nechlak lekamen itzotos, af kol dibur v'dibur sheyatza mipikosh baruchu, nechlak l'shivim l'shonos, but speaking to the same idea, that just like when the hammer hits the stone, there's going to be broken into many pieces, so too, every dibur that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai came down and divided into 70 languages. Amar Rav Chanan bar Papa, my dechsev, the pasuk. Shamu ki nigidim adaber. Listen, because these are things that are said by the nagid, the leader, the priest, the prince. Lama nimshal divrei Torah ke nagid. The divrei Torah is compared to that of a prince. Lama lachama nagidze yesh po lamiz lachayos. So the prince over here, the king of a nation, can both kill and can commute a sentence. Af divrei Torah yesh bam lahamis ulachayos. Same thing is true when it comes to divrei Torah. The divrei Torah can kill somebody. It can cause life. Hainu da'amar rava lemaimim ba sam dechaye lemasmiilim ba sam demusta. If you are to the right, Rashi understands that means to mean over here, that you are learning Torah with all your strength. Rashi writes, Asukim b'chol kocham, v'trudim ladas soda, and you really want to know the secrets of the Torah, ka'adam ha'mishtamish b'yad yamino, she'ikar. You're using your right hand, right? We're assuming that the person's right-handed, and the right hand obviously implies dominance. If it's something that you really want, you're going to use your right hand. However, if you're masmi'il, meaning that you use your left hand, and so the implication, of course, is that you're not trying with all your strength, and you're giving a half-hearted effort, so that's obviously not good. Davar Achir, back to the Gemara. First wide line, center of the Amud. Nigidim kol dibor v'dibor she'atzam mipikosh baruch hu koshen lo shnei ksarin. That with every dibor that came out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were given the two crowns. We already spoke about this earlier. I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. The Gemara now continues giving more description, more agadata regarding Mamad Har Sinai. We start with the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and that will then finish off our daf today. And we're going to be finishing with five different statements of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I think we will stop right before the fifth. Number one, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsid, Sur Hamor Dodili ben Shaddai Yalin. Again, going back to the Pesukim Shir Hashirim, describing the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. So Bein Shaddai Yalin, we are between the Shaddai of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, all this is said as a metaphor. Amar Kenes Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, the Shaddai over here, Rashi says, this actually can be seen, manifest itself, in terms of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi described that the Mikdash Rishon, we saw this a number of times throughout Shas, that in the Beis HaMikdash, so the way that the poles of the Aron went through the curtain, so it looked like Shaddayim. So this idea is actually manifest. But over here, the metaphor about the relationship. Amar Kenes Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Af HaPi Shemeitzar Umeimar Li Dodi Ben Shaddai Yalin. Even though there was fighting between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning we were husband and wife, and it wasn't 100% smooth, and there was fighting. But nevertheless, Dodi Ben Shaddai Yalin. But still, when all said and done, we have an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eshkol HaKofer Dodi Li Bekarmi Ein Gidi. Again, more psukim in the first paragraph of Shir Hashirim. So the Eshkol HaKofer, right, a cluster of something that gives off a fragrant perfume. So Dodi Li Bekarmi, my beloved is in the vineyard, Ein Gidi. And Misha Kol Shalo Mechaper Li Al Avon Gidi. And Gemara now darshans that the person who is in control of everything, the entity that's in control of everything, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be mechaper on the sin of the gedi. Shekemasi li, that quote unquote bundled me up. My mashma da'i karmi lashma de machnish. This idea of karmi is something which ties me up. Who? I'm a marzucha breder of Nachman Kitanan. We have a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim speaks of this idea that the word karem, which we normally translate as a vineyard, but in this case actually means something that ties me up. The Mishnah in Kalim is describing a chair, the chair of the launderer, where basically he's going to take clothing, pile them one on top of another on this chair, burn incense on the bottom. That incense is going to go up and penetrate through all the clothing that is piled up on the chair. Anyway, the whole point over here is that you see the word kormim means to pile up. I'm Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. This is going to be now our second statement of Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. My dichsev lechayav karugos abosem, back to Shir Hashirim, and the cheeks are like arugos abosem, a bed of spices called dibur v'dibur shiatsam mipikash baruch hu nismale kol ha'olam kulo b'samin. Every time a dibur came out from a kash baruch hu by Mavon Har Sinai, the entire world was filled with fragrance. V'kevish m'dibur v'shin nismale dibur shein leichen halach. Well, how can it be more aroma coming out? If the aroma already came out by the first Dibur, so shouldn't it already have now been there? And what is happening for the second Dibur? So the Gemara goes on to explain, and so the Gemara gives a description that with every Dibur, Kadosh Baruch Hu also took out a wind from his storage house, and the wind took and blew away the aroma, so that then there would be a new aroma that comes out with every new dibor that comes out. The pasuk says sif sosav shoshanim notfos, and the word shoshanim could also be read shoshonim. That with the repetition or with the next dibor that comes out, so there's going to be a new aroma that comes out as well. A third statement to Rav Yishuv Malavi, Amar Rav Yishuv Malavi called dibor v'dibor shiatsa mipikadosh baruch hu yatsa nishmasam. With every dibur that came out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Mamad Har Sinai, so the neshamas of the Jewish people left their body. It was such an intense event that our neshamas could not just stay fixated with our body. Again, going back to the Pesukim Shir Hashirim, my soul left. So the Gemara says, okay, so if our neshamas left for the first dibur, so then, how did the neshamas return so that it would leave again for the second dibur? And a similar idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu took out the tal, he took out the dew. The dew is that which is going to create chiyas amesim. So, v'hechaya osam. And this dew was used at Mamad Har Sinai, and it rejuvenated, it brought the Jewish people, so to say, back to life, reconnected the nefesh, the neshama, and the guf. And Shenamar Geshem Nidgos, Tanif Elokim Nachaska, Vinila Ata Konanta. This idea that the rain, in this case the dew, is that which is going to create, promote Chiyas HaMesim. So that was used at Mamad Har Sinai in order to reunite the Nefesh and the Guf. A fourth statement by Rabbi Yeshua Malevi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Malevi, called Dibor V'Dibor, Sheyatza Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every Dibor that came out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazri Yisrael L'Achoreihem. So the Jewish people retracted. Yud Beis Mil, they went back 12 mil. Again, the idea that this was such a seminal event and such a powerful event that we recoiled and we went back 12 mil. Vayu Malach Esharis Madinosam, and the Jewish people and the Malachim pushed the Jewish people back. Shenem Malach Etzvalkos Yedudan Yeduron Altikra Yedudun Ela Yedadun. The Malachim pushed us back in the direction of Mamad Har Sinai when we recoiled over every one of the Dibros that came down at Mamad Har Sinai. We have one more statement to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but we're going to table this for tomorrow as it goes into tomorrow's daf. Let's quickly recap our daf today. The top of Peches and Aleph, we went over together. The end of the discussion between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim regarding what exactly is going to be the date of Mamad Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah. It's either the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan. And the Gemara over there goes over the back and forth, and we finished that this morning. Additionally, we went over numerous agaritas regarding Mamad Har Sinai. We covered this morning on the Amud Aleph, Kaf Aleim Harki Gigas, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give us a choice in accepting Mamad Har Sinai. Number two, we went over the fact that the crowns were given to us at Mamad Har Sinai. They were also taken off. The end of Amud Aleph went over the idea of Nasa V'Nishma. On the Amud Beis, we spoke extensively of the relationship the Jewish people had, despite the fact that there were some bumps in the road. Nevertheless, we had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The various ideas that were articulated in the course of today's daf. Tomorrow we continue. Going to be a continuation. The fifth statement to Rav Yeshua ben Levi is where we start with tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.